Explain to me again why we have a Viking festival in Paperwick, Connecticut. Rosemary Gray leaned back in her desk chair, which gave its usual squeak of indignation that accompanied every twist or rock or swivel. Her tiny but cozy office at Paperwick University, home of the Fighting Trout, had become the regular after-school hangout for a little band of professors. Rosemary's oldest and dearest friend, Dr. Jack Stone, English literature, and her new friend and almost boyfriend, Dr. Seth McGuire, anthropology. Rosemary herself was a newly hired history professor at the university, specializing in early America, a popular subject in Connecticut, where so much history had taken place. Sometimes Jack's husband, Charlie, a best-selling author, joined the group as well. And the four of them would drink tea, talk about their days, and just generally enjoy one another's company. Jack and Charlie had lived in Paperwick for less than 2 years, Seth only one, and Rosemary was just moving into her cottage on Jack and Charlie's farm, so all of them were relative newcomers in a community that boasted a prime spot in colonial American history. In fact, if you hadn't lived in Paperwick for at least a few generations, you were generally considered a newbie. But Jack and Charlie had quickly endeared themselves to several of the old families in town, and Seth and Rosemary, being close friends of Jack and Charlie, were fast becoming trusted members of the village populace as well. Tucked away between the coast and the rolling hills of Middlesex County, the tiny village wasn't even always included on area maps. It had been peopled by Indigenous Americans for as far back as anyone knew, and then founded as a village in the 1600s by a group of Puritans fresh from England who were in search of cheap land, opportunities to trade, and religious freedom. "It's all on account of Bjorn," said Jack.
"Bjorn?" Rosemary raised an eyebrow at her friend.
"Bjorn," corrected Jack. "The Viking festival is because of him."
"Right. And who is Bjorn?" asked Rosemary.
"Bjorn," said Jack. "The lost Viking," added Seth, a gleam in his eye.
"A Viking. In Connecticut?" said Rosemary, skeptical. "Didn't they do their exploring way up north, like, oh, I don't know, in Canada or something?"
"Don't mind her, Seth," said Jack. "She's stuck eons past the Vikings, obsessed with the 17th century, I'm afraid. She can't help it." Seth laughed and shook his head.
"Don't worry, Rosie,"
he said, throwing her the lopsided grin that she was beginning to love. Rosemary also loved how he had taken to sometimes calling her by the shortened name, just like Jack and Charlie. In fact, she loved most everything the shy Professor McGuire said or did. She was still daily amazed that she'd found someone who made her heart so happy right there in that teensy village, after she'd been lonely in some of the biggest cities in the world.
"You're almost right," Seth continued. "The Vikings probably landed in what is now Newfoundland around 1000 AD.
500 years before Columbus came and really opened the floodgates to European settlers," added Jack.
"Right," said Seth with a nod.
"The Vikings landed up north but didn't stay long. They were hoping to do some trading, maybe find a source of lumber to take home to Greenland and Iceland. Most theories are that the natives weren't too excited about that plan and sent the Vikings packing."
"All except for Bjorn," said Jack.
"Bjorn wasn't sent packing? So he stayed on in Canada then?" asked Rosemary.
"So legend has it," said Seth, nodding. "And keep in mind, it really is only a legend as far as we can prove.
But legends are often born of facts," said Jack, wiggling his eyebrows, which always got a smile out of Rosemary.
"Sometimes they are," agreed Seth. "So the story goes that Bjorn, either by himself or with a small band of explorers, moved inland and, well, got lost."
"Ah, Bjorn, the lost Viking. I get it," said Rosemary.
"But you're saying he wandered all the way down to Connecticut?